بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, one of the greatest responsibilities that the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were tasked with and were required to fulfill was that they had to directly and unapologetically address a crime, a sin within their community that reached a point or almost reached a point of normalization and acceptability. So they were sent to a nation, and over and above the crime of shirk, ascribing partners with Allah, which was the first area that they had tackled, and the first crime, which is the greatest crime in the sight of Allah, which they had dealt with, you find that in every community that a Nabi was sent to, there was a crime, a sin, that had reached, or almost reached, an acceptable point, where it became acceptable amongst the people, and people viewed it as something normal. And to address that type of an activity, and that type of a practice, that had reached a point of acceptability amongst the community, was a very, very challenging and daunting task. Because everyone was involved in it. And here you have a Nabi, a messenger, who has to now address it and challenge it when everyone else is comfortable with it. But we find that every Nabi, he directly and unapologetically addressed that crime and that sin, regardless of how acceptable it became within the community and the point of normalization that it had reached. We find Shu'aib alayhi salam, for example, fraudulent practices, deceit, and unethical, un-Islamic, unlawful, illegal business practices were prevalent within the society. You could not deal, you could not trade, you could not engage in any monetary transaction without engaging in deceit, in fraudulent practices, and so on and so forth. So it became a norm within the community, and Shu'aib alayhi salam directly addressed it. And that is why people took offense to it. We look at Lut alayhi salam. In the time, in the era of Lut alayhi salam, homosexuality reached a point of acceptability, to the point where Lut alayhi salam's wife, the wife of Lut alayhi salam, also passively supported, not actively, but passively she supported this crime of homosexuality that was prevalent within the society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has at times demanded from certain people within the community to carry out this very same task and responsibility. And in view of this, the Jam'iyatul Ulama, KZN, have coordinated a nationwide Jumu'ah topic for this Friday. And the topic is LGBT and the destruction of the people of Lut alayhi salam. What is LGBT? It's an acronym that represents lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and sometimes they have Q added to the end of it, Q, which is translated as queer or questioning. So you have someone who's uncertain about his sexual orientation, and he's questioning his own sexual orientation. That's what the Q stands for. At the outset, we must understand that the LGBT problem is part of a far bigger problem. The LGBT culture is only a part of a far bigger ideology, a far bigger theory, a far bigger culture, and that is liberalism. Liberalism, basically, what does liberalism mean? That you are born free. You should not allow your decisions, your desires, your preferences, your choices, your likes and your dislikes should not be governed by any divine law. So that is basically what liberalism means. Now, liberalism vehemently and very forcefully, it promotes what is called the hedonistic principle. The hedonistic principle basically means that the ultimate good, ultimate pleasure, ultimate desire is what you feel good, what you feel pleasurable, what you feel desirable as the individual. You are by no means confined by any law to not practice upon that which you feel good about. Now this hedonistic principle is what is vehemently and very intensely, it is something that is promoted via liberalism, and the LGBT concept or theory and culture is just one part of this bigger problem of liberalism that we have. Now this, the hedonistic principle, is in complete and total contradiction to what we have been taught and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come with. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you can reach perfect iman. Your iman can never reach a point of perfection. And you can never be a true believer until and unless your desires, your preferences, your wants and your needs are in conformity with what I have brought. Which shows that our desires, our preferences, our choices must be governed by the divine law of Sharia introduced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This community, or a community of homosexuals, first came into existence in the time of Lut alayhi salam, or before Lut alayhi salam was appointed as a Nabi. Lut alayhi salam was the nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And both of them traveled from the land of Babylon. Ibrahim alayhi salam traveled to the land of Sham. Lut alayhi salam, he was sent to a certain community and a people. And we find that they were the first nation on earth to introduce homosexuality. Lut alayhi salam himself addressed them. وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةِ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Are you committing this fahisha, this open act of immorality? And no one ever perpetrated and committed this act before you. You are the first to introduce this act of immorality in the form of homosexuality on planet Earth. Now there are different ways through which people validate, or different perspectives through which we view this culture, the LGBT culture. First is the scientific perspective, or you have the scientific argument. There are people who validate it through a scientific argument. Then there is the rational perspective, the rational defenses. There are rational defenses, logical arguments that people use in order to validate their preference and their sexual orientation, as unnatural as it may be. Then there is the lens or the perspective of morality. And then, of course, there is the religious or the spiritual perspective, viewing it through the lens of wahi. Let us go through these four perspectives, time permitting, inshaAllah ta'ala. The scientific perspective. Brothers, firstly, when it comes to the scientific perspective or the scientific argument, there's something that we should always understand when it comes to a scientific finding and wahi, divine revelation. Scientific studies and opinions that are based on scientific principle are inconclusive and are subject to revision. I have a quotation here by Lord May. Who was Lord May? He was the former chief scientific advisor to the UK government. Listen to what he had to say about scientific findings. He says, science is best represented as organized skepticism. And science's results and conclusions have to be included in that skepticism. Science is not the arbiter of truth. All it can do is offer opinions about the answers to certain questions that we ask of nature. So there's no need for us to delve into the scientific argument and the scientific validation of the sexual orientation that a person may have towards the gender or towards both genders. Why? Because it goes completely against what the Quran confirms. Look, when we have a scientific finding and there's a scientific conclusion, and that conclusion, which is based on scientific principles, if it conforms with Wahi and Quran, then we will welcome it. We will embrace it. By all means, we will accept it. But the moment you find that there's a contradiction between the scientific conclusion and the scientific finding and that of Wahi, we will reject it. And this is exactly the case over here. So there might be a scientific argument to validate this type of theory and this type of a culture. But undoubtedly, it is inconsistent, not only inconsistent, but completely contradicts what Quran has to say regarding the LGBT community. Hence, we will reject, outwardly and openly, we will reject any scientific argument that seeks to validate these type of practices within the community. Let's move on to the rational defenses or the rational arguments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings with different desires. So there's a desire for food. There's a desire for drink. And we have different desires. And it is common knowledge. Even people from within the LGBT community will accept the fact that overindulgence in any of your desires is detrimental. Whether it is food, right? So food is permissible. It is lawful. It is halal for us to consume food. It is not only lawful, but it is a need and a requirement. But the moment you overindulge, what happens? It is now detrimental. It is harmful to you. And the same applies with every desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us. Any desire. And I'm referring to the lawful desires. Kulu wa shrabu wa la tusrifu. Allah says, eat and drink. Both of these are to fulfill what? To fulfill a lawful desire. Wa la tusrifu. But don't exceed the limit. Don't go beyond the limit. Because the moment you go beyond the limit, what's going to happen? It is going to be a source and a means of harm towards you. Your spiritual self, your psychological self, your physical self. So every desire must be fulfilled within the limit. And this is something that is accepted amongst all communities and amongst all human beings. The same applies to the sexual desire. It's a desire which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us as human beings. But the same principle will apply there. Why is it that we are applying the principle to every other desire? And we accept the transgression of the need and transgression and overindulgence will lead to something very, very harmful. It's applied everywhere else. Why is it not applied over here? And here we say that it is a free for all. You are allowed to act on impulse, your sexual orientation. That should be applied. So this is a rational argument. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. Allah says, if you go beyond, when it comes to your sexual desire and fulfilling your sexual desire, if you go beyond your wife, if you go beyond your spouse, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. You are from amongst the adun. You are from amongst those who have transgressed the limits. So you're asking for trouble. And Lut alayhi salam, he used this rational argument. When he approached his people, he said, listen, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ عَادُونَ. See the same word, adun? He said to his people, you are transgressing the limit. And you should know, logically, rationally, transgressing the limit in anything permissible is harmful to you. So it applies to your sexual desire as well. You have to stay within the limit. And when you go beyond that, it's going to be harmful to yourself and harmful to the society. We don't have much time. This is a topic that requires much time. So there are many other rational, logical arguments that we can use, right, to invalidate. But look, for every logical argument, there's a counter-argument. If you present a logical argument, a rational argument, then you will find that from that community, they will also perhaps present some logical and rational argument. And that is why we can never do without Allah. We can never remove wahi from the equation. So the rational argument will only succeed if there is faith, if there is iman, if there is wahi, and there's divine law to rely on. And if there's no faith, there's no divine scripture, there's no sharia that you ascribe to, then where do you draw the line? Tomorrow, if someone wants to engage in the act of incest, what stops him? If you are promoting this hedonistic principle that we spoke of earlier, what stops him? Bestiality. Pedophilia. And that is why we have to draw the line. How do we draw the line? We rely on wahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our manufacturer. Allah is our creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands that the human beings will at times engage in such behaviors, and there will be irregularity in practices, and this insan will require a manual. You have a device, you have an appliance, right? So you have a device, you have an appliance, and the manufacturer provides you with what? With a manual. Provides you with a manual. So in case there's any problem, there's any irregular activity or behavior, troubleshooting is required. For troubleshooting, you are going to refer to the manual. You must refer to the manual. And you refer to the manual that was given to you by the manufacturer for that specific device. Not a manual of a different manufacturer or for a different device. We must turn to Quran when these behaviors surface amongst people, because you have people within the Muslim community who feel that naturally they are attracted to the same gender, or they are bisexual. They are naturally attracted. They feel that they are naturally attracted to both genders. So when you have this irregular behavior and you have these type of tendencies within the community, how do we view it through the light of Quran, through the light of wahi? When we go to the Quran, let's go back to Lut alayhi salam. When he diagnosed this problem within the community, and the symptoms were there, he attributed it to what? Very often people say it's a natural inclination. Lut alayhi salam, he provided us with, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has identified the core, the cause of the behavior. What did he say to his people? إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالِ شَهْوَةً. You approach men to fulfill your sexual desire. Why? شَهْوَةً. It is because of shahwa. It is because of shahwa, not naturally. It's not a natural inclination that you have. Because Allah created you upon fitrah. How can it be a natural inclination when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Allah created you upon fitrah? What does fitrah mean? Allah has created you upon the natural disposition of Islam. Not only you, but every child that comes into the world, Allah has created that child upon the natural disposition of Islam. Will Islam ever advocate, promote this type of behavior? So he says the underlying cause. What is the cause of the behavior? He says shahwa. What's shahwa? Shahwa refers to the carnal desire that exists within the humankind. There is a narration that Al-Mutahhir Ibn Tahir Al-Maqdisi has narrated in his book. Allow me just a few minutes more, inshallah, and we'll conclude. He has said in his book that it has been reported to us by Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. قال ركب الله في الملائكة العقل بلا شهوة. Allah created the malaika with intelligence, with aql, but they do not have shahwa in it, in them. We are speaking about shahwa. Why? The Quran teaches us that the cause of the behavior, the sexual orientation, the unnatural sexual orientation that people have within them is because of shahwa. Let us understand shahwa. What triggers shahwa? What is shahwa all about? So he says that Allah has created malaika with aql, intellect, but no shahwa. Allah has created animals with shahwa, but no aql, no intellect. And he has created the humankind with both, al-aql wa shahwa, intellect as well as shahwa. He says that if the insan will allow his shahwa to overpower his aql, meaning he gives into the demand of the carnal self, and he allows his shahwa to overpower his intellect, he will become worse than the animal. And that is why he will be inclined towards the same gender. But he says if he allows his aql to govern his intellect that Allah has blessed him with, and his aql, his intelligence that Allah has blessed him with, if he allows that to overpower his shahwa, then he will remain in control of the shahwa, and Allah will elevate him to a rank even higher than that of the angels. Now, what are those things that trigger the shahwa? We've identified the problem, right? The cause of the unnatural behavior. What is it? Shahwa. What are those things that trigger the shahwa? We must identify them. Because sometimes you have a youngster and he feels that I'm naturally inclined towards a person of the same gender. But it's never a natural inclination. So there's something that's triggering the shahwa. Number one, the first thing that triggers shahwa is consumption of haram. Consumption of haram. When haram is fed to the nafs, naturally, that creates within a person unnatural desires. Number two, pornography and television programs. Brothers, Netflix remains the most LGBT-friendly source of TV that people have right now. Netflix leads the way when it comes to LGBT representation. Netflix certainly leads the way when it comes to desensitizing viewers to the seriousness and the gravity of the crime. Cancel the subscription for the sake of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ إِلَّا بَدَّلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَا هُوَ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنْهِ. When you give up something for the sake of Allah, you cancel that subscription for the sake of Allah, Allah will give you something better in return. These programs are desensitizing us to the seriousness of these unnatural behaviors and desensitizing our children to these unnatural activities that happens within the society. Another trigger of shahwa is music. Imam Al-Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi says, وَمُهِيجُ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Music is something that triggers the shahwa. Listening to music. So sometimes a child does not know why I'm behaving this way, or why I have these inclinations, or why I have these desires. Maybe he's listening to too much of music. Maybe he's spending a lot of time on Netflix. Maybe the consumption of what he is eating is haram, and that is triggering shahwa, and now he feels that, hey, this is a natural inclination that I have, which is not the case. Lastly, how do I deal with someone like this? I know of a person, like I said, brothers, there's so much that we can say and speak about on this topic, but very often you find that youngsters are suffering from this dilemma, and they have this problem. Number one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that you are the influencer, the first influencer in the... So you have nature versus nurture, right? Nature is what? Fitrah. But that fitrah, that natural disposition of Islam, can be influenced by nurture. Now that's very important. Your nurturing of your child must conform with the nature of the child. What's the nature of the child? Fitrah. Ensure that your nurturing conforms with the fitrah, with the nature. Because that nature can be influenced and changed how? Through nurture. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the parent drives the child towards Christianity, drives the child towards Judaism, drives the child towards un-Islamic practices. So you are the first influencer in the life of your child. So sometimes you brought up your child in such a way where the nurturing contradicted the nature, then what happens? The child will feel unnaturally inclined towards a person of the same gender. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. One last point. How do I deal with a youngster or a person who has... Umar radiallahu ta'ala who taught us the principle. Umar radiallahu ta'ala who said, فَسَدِّدُوا وَوَثِّقُوا وَقَوِّمُوهُ وَانْصَحُوا لَهُ وَادْعُوهُ وَلَا تَكُونُوا عَوَانَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَيْهِ. Advise him. Bring him close to you. Help him up. Don't criticize him. Don't ridicule him. Don't mock at him. He says, help him up. Advise him. Guide him. Give him your hand. And lift him up. Anyone can slip. Any one of us can slip. But guide that youngster. Bring him out. He needs help. Don't be the supporters of the devil against him. Your approach is very, very important. The approach that you use when addressing this problem or addressing somebody and helping somebody who is in this dilemma. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.